Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
As you head out to get those last-minute Christmas gifts, it's time to get ready for an all-new Listen In with KNN. While this Thursday marks the first start of winter, it also marks another first in Listen In with KNN history. Joining me today, we will have the first skateboarder I've welcomed ever to the show, the one and only Mr. Darren Harper. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
This week, I'm doing things a little bit different and doing Kelsey's Do Good Education Organization of the Week. Now, today, I'm very excited to honor a group that I've actually had the privilege to work with. It's the one and only Tutor for America Now. Now, I'm awarding this group because they help find successful students who serve as mentors and tutors for students that are falling through the cracks at school. They achieve this by reaching out to children in a crucial time of development. So to talk further about this wonderful organization doing so much good in the community, I have the one and only Miss Monica Utrecht. Monica, how are you?
I am great. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for joining and for all the good that your group is doing. So before we get further into the interview, can you tell me a little bit more about what Tutor for America Now is and why did you start it?
Absolutely. Well, we started this about 6 or 7 years ago. And the reason we started is we have a daycare organization called Global Children's Center. And Global Children's Center is actually a before and after care program, which only services children kindergarten through fifth grade. And after fifth grade, we don't service our children, and it's a before and after care program. So we found that after our fifth graders were leaving us, they were going home, and they didn't have anywhere to go. So we started Tutor for America Now, which is modeled after Teach for America.
Right.
And what it is there to help, like as you said earlier, to help students that are, that are underserved in the community or underprivileged, and our older kids that need the SSL hours that are in high school, or even older people, like, you know, older gentlemen or even senior citizens that are vetted, you know, they go through a process with our company, can come in and volunteer in our Global Children's Center programs, and can come in and actually tutor our students at Global Children's Center and help these students that are in our program that might need one-on-one tutoring, but it doesn't have to be just tutoring. I know the organization is called tutorforamericanow.org, which is, like, again, I said, it is modeled after Teach for America, but we do lots of other things with the program, such as collect backpacks and help students with sports. So we do help these students in different array and different aspects of the program. And so it's any way that we can, you know, help these children with their self-esteem in any different, you know, in any way we can boost their self-esteem and help these students. So we really bring these students, boost their self-esteem and really, really bring their self-esteem up. And also at the same time, help the high schoolers or anybody's self-esteem in other ways to volunteer and fulfill their volunteer hours for SSL. And the SSL stands for Student Service Learning Hours. So it helps those students also, for the older middle schoolers and the high school students, because a lot of our high schoolers we found in the community were doing just stuffing envelopes, or they didn't want to do things. You know, they were just filling those hours.
It's more meaningful
calls.
Through through your group.
Yeah, absolutely. So they found that this was so much more meaningful, that where they could find where their strengths were, like help a child with basketball, help a child with soccer, or get in the community. Like right now we're doing Global Giving Tree with our 14 sites with Global Children's Center, where we adopt 5 families for each of our centers, and we adopt 60 families with all of our 14 sites. And we're in Montgomery County, Maryland, so our sites go from Wilson Wims Elementary School from Clarksburg, Maryland, all the way down to New Hampshire State Elementary. So
wow.
we blindly adopt 60 families, and we serve like just gifts. We adopt 60
right.
families and give them gifts. So we have these SSL students come and help us fulfill their gifts, you know, to wrap
yeah.
the gifts for them. So things like that.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So they do things like that. So, you know, really it's just a wonderful organization, and also it's a good way for our organization to have a foundation and give back and feel some meaning, too.
Right, because that's what it's all about, giving back, as you said, you know, and helping. You know, when you've had such a successful business, now you get to give back and help other people. So I think it's so wonderful that you're doing that, Monica. And before I let you go, can you let people know where they can find out more information one more time in case they want to get involved?
Absolutely. They can go on our website, tutorforamericanow.org, or they can call our office at 301-972-5982, and they can call and speak to any of our colleagues at the office, at the Global Children's Center office, and they can, you know, call there and volunteer. But they do have to be vetted, and they do have to, we do go through a screening process because we are working with the little ones.
Right,
so we
of
do
course.
Have a,
have to be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a major screening process for the volunteers, but they can call there or they can go on our website and look at the website and see what we do.
Perfect. Thank you again so much, Monica, for joining me today, and congrats once again for earning this week's Kelsey's Do Good Education Organization of the Week Award for Tutor for America Now. It's now time to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites, from their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes. Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome today's special guest, DC's very own Darren Harper, to the show. So without further ado, welcome, Darren. How are you?
Hey, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very glad and honored to have you. You know, I love that we're bringing skateboarding to the show. You're my first skateboarding guest. I'm really excited.
Yes, I'm excited as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. No problem. And let me get into your background just for people that might not know you. Visit most urban areas today, and there's a good chance you'll see at least one kid zoom by on a skateboard. A few years ago, though, this was a rare sight in neighborhoods like professional skateboarder Darren Harper's native Southeast Washington, D.C. When Harper hopped onto his first skateboard at the age of 8 after finding it on the side of the road, it wasn't a popular pastime among his peers, let alone a potential career option. Nevertheless, Darren eventually began spending his weekends practicing at Freedom Plaza in downtown D.C. It was a brief reprieve from his rough neighborhood and the fights he had with schoolmates who misunderstood. To them, skating was a white boy sport. Consequently, Harper learned to disassemble his skateboard and hide it in a bag until he was out of sight. Since he also sold drugs to make ends meet, he was no newcomer to concealing things or bags. Still, he was inspired by skaters he saw on television, like Tony Hawk and others on Skate TV, and felt an identity conflict of sorts. So he got a job at Tower Records and continued to hone his skill on a skateboard. Darren, nicknamed These Streets by his neighborhood cohorts, realized that skateboarding could be his ticket to a better life and began marketing himself and attending trade shows. He had a friend who believed in him enough to buy a camera and begin filming him so that he could have a reel to send executives and companies related to the industry. That reel ended up in the hands of a Blink-182 drummer, Travis Barker. In 2006, at the age of 24, Harper actually met Barker at a trade show in San Diego, a meeting which resulted in a professional sponsorship with Barker's brand, Famous Stars and Straps. able to quit his retail job and focus fully on skating, Darren traveled the world participating in skate competitions and making skateboarding videos. He even appeared on an episode of Travis's reality show, Meet the Barkers. Southeast D.C. and the kids that live there have never been far from these streets to mind or heart, no matter where his wheels took him, though. He made it his personal mission to not only make the sport more cool to inner city kids, but also to show them their alternatives to dead-end activities like selling drugs. Though their surroundings may look bleak, Darren's goal is to help them see what he's seen, that dreams do come true. I love that. To that end, he often distributes free skateboards to and mentors disenfranchised youth. When he's not working, you can often find him teaching kids how to skate, whether he's at home in the metropolitan D.C. area or on a break at Back to the Banks in New York. Though his vehicle is a skateboard, the goal of Harper's Movement is to help children realize there are no color lines or class barriers that can keep them from their dreams, whether they involve a deck and four wheels or not. Harper actually still has more dreams to fulfill on his own. In addition to opening the minds of inner city kids, he hopes to launch his own clothing and skateboard brand. Plus, he plays in a band that plays go-go and hip-hop music. He also plays the conga drums. Skateboarding, mentoring, performing, and starting a new business all at once may make some men's heads spin, but Darren loves it all. Though his street corner days are far behind him, he says, "All I did was switch my hustle. I'll never stop hustling." Wow, Darren, what a bio you have. You know, I love your story, and I love that you're honest about it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Darren. Not everybody, you know, will say that they sold drugs, but I like that you, you know, say that because it basically shows, you know, that you can come back from that. You know, you've made yourself such a positive role model. And as you said, Southeast D.C., I'm pretty sure you probably still get some people that look at you sideways when you're skateboarding. Because,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
You're trying to introduce it to them. So tell me, I mean, you know, tell me first, how did you play in a go-go band, which I think is very exciting. How did you get into go-go? And tell me about a little bit more about the band that you play in.
Okay, my band name is Dynasty Band. I first got into go-go probably when I was about maybe 7-8 years old, kind of around near the time of, you know, first being introduced to a skateboard. It was all around the same time.
Okay.
I was living in a very rough neighborhood in Southeast D.C., Savannah Terrace. And one of my cousins, he was a neighborhood hustler at the time, and all his friends, I would get up and go to school and always see them outside on the corner. And, you know, when I came home as well, they'd be outside on that same corner, and they would be blasting go-go and, you know, just having fun.
It's a DC thing.
Yeah, it's a DC thing. So back then, one of the main bands was Red Essence, and that was
You're bringing up memories.
Yes. So when I used to, you know, I used to be on my way to school or coming home, I used to hear it so much that I just took a liking to it. And then around that time as well, my mom actually, I almost skipped that part. My mom is a diehard Chuck Brown fan. So So I grew up, may he rest in peace. I grew up with my mom blasting Chuck Brown all the time as well. So I think that was kind of, that was the introduction right there. But also my cousin was the one that, you know, he kind of did a lot of things that I did, and I used to mimic him, and he knew how to play the congos. So, you know, after him, letting me just hear tapes and stuff of bands, I just, my passion just grew for it. So I would, only time I really got to see it, because I wasn't old enough to get in clubs at that time, was my mom used to take me to a lot of block parties, and we used to have Malcolm X Day. We used to have all those festivities back in the day, the Unifest and things like that, where most of the D.C. go-go bands would perform.
Right. Now, that's such a cool story about how you got into the go-go scene, and I love that you're still doing it now, even with everything else that you're doing. But I want to go back to the beginning of your story, Darren. So, you know, you're on the street, and you see a skateboard. But still, I feel like, you know, we could be on the street anytime, you know, maybe see a baseball bat or a basketball. But, you know, you saw a skateboard, something that you weren't used to. I want to know, like, what was going through your mind, if you can remember back then, to really want to pick that up, since, as you said in your bio, I mean, it's not a sport that, you know, usually African-Americans are associated with.
Okay. Well, Kelsey, back then, you know, again, it was just at that age, I think
more so we were just looking for something to do. You know, we were in the projects, and I mean, we done it all. We would jump on dirty mattresses. We would climb into abandoned vacant houses, and I mean, project buildings, and, you know, just climb in there and just hang out. We just were doing anything. You know, we just wanted to have some fun in the neighborhood. Like, you were kind of trying to stay out of the way of, you know, everything that was going on, as far as like the drugs and the violence, and, you know, a lot was going on then. So me and my boys, I remember one day back in the day, we were just walking like down the street, and it was in an eviction. Basically, someone had been set out their home, and which we used to see all the time, and it was just laying there. So we just grabbed it, just messing around. It wasn't nothing really, you know, just like, hey, there it is, and we just started messing around with it. So after messing around with it, I think what really got me involved with it was there was a show that came on TV every Saturday morning.
Okay.
And I stumbled upon this show because it would actually come on around the same time of this show called Metro World, which was a go-go show that came on a local, like, DC channel.
Okay.
So I would get up every morning and watch both these shows, and, you know, my go-go mix with my skateboarding, and I just would, you know, get excited after watching both and go outside and, you know, start messing with the board, and it just progressed from there. We'd mess around, and then we kind of we started with a little small skinny board, and then we convinced our moms to take us to Disco Mock, which was like the project Best Buy, I'd say.
Okay.
and they had these little like $25 skateboards, and I was able to get one of those. And we just kind of used to mimic what we saw on TV, and
right.
That really was the beginning.
No, that's really cool. You know, I just love that story about how you got there. And like I said, I love that you're not afraid to hide your past. So, you know, you did mention that that you sold drugs. But just kind of tell me, I mean, how were you able to get out of that life into professional skateboarding, you know, kind of full time?
Well, it wasn't easy because, I mean, again, I grew up in, you know, poverty-stricken, just home. My mom and my dad both were on drugs, although my dad, he was one of those situations where he was a drug dealer, and he ended up getting started abusing the drugs. So he started using the drugs, and eventually he died in 96 over the overdose. Yes. So my mom was kind of like the single parent raising us, and before that, my dad, he was in and out of jail anyway. So I really can't remember that much time of us being, you know, spending together. But my mom was a soldier, and she did most of it on her own. But, you know, through that time, like, just going through everything she was going through, we used to see it, like, I've been, like, I won't say taken, but I remember the police, like, coming to pick us up, because one time my mom and my stepdad got into a big fight, and then my cousin, he came down. He used to be in the neighborhood right up the street, it was all the same neighborhood, but it was right up the street on a hill. He came down, and he shot my stepdad. So that was something that, you know, I wasn't even home at the time. Actually, I came home from a party that night, and, yeah, he had been shot in the house. And my next-door neighbor, she was supposed to catch me before I walked in the house, but I was able to walk in and see the blood a little bit, and that's when she caught me coming on. So, again, there was so much going on, and I think that's how really it was kind of like me getting involved with selling drugs as a whole, was because I was surrounded by it all my life.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like when you grow up in poverty, it's kind of like those were, it's sad to say, but those were the doctors. Those were the role models that you looked up to, because they were right there in front of you. You know, it was like you had Michael Jordans and stuff like that, but it was on TV. So it was almost like make-believe. So when you can see something and feel and touch it and really see what's going on in your real world, you know, it's kind of like that's what gets you more, you know, excited and more like, oh, I want to be like these guys. And sad to say, that's kind of how I grew up. I wanted to be a drug dealer, but I knew what came with it. And then the times I would go that route, it would be people that, you know, knew me, and even some of the drug dealers, they were so cool with my family that they would be like, listen, man, you have so much talent, you need not to go that route. But eventually it happened, and I just ended up, you know, getting involved, and there you have it. I was in the streets, you know. I mean, I was pretty late with it, although I sold my first piece of crack when I was probably like 10 years old. But I actually was in college when I started, like, really, you know, selling, and I just said, forget it. I dropped out of college, and I just started selling drugs full-time.
But, I mean, I just, you know, it shows that you went from that to now being a successful skateboarder. Now I want to, you know, switch on to the very amazing part of your story that now you have, you're still, I mean, you already kind of have lived out your dream, but now you have more dreams and you want to launch your own clothing and skateboard brand. So tell me, how is that going? How is that process going?
Well, it's going good. For the past, like, 5 or 4 years, I've been working on my brand, which is called Love Being Street. So, I was doing skateboards at one time with a friend of mine. We had something called Good Bully, but I'm not as sure now, you know, seeing what I know, if I want to really do skateboard company, but I do have my clothing company, you know, moving, and it's called Love Being Street again. And, you know, it's, I mean, it's a hustle, you know, and that's one thing I'm no stranger to. So I'm cutting, I'm fit for it. So I'm just, you know, I'm just beginning and I'm just branding. And I do a lot of things. So what I usually try to do is tie everything into one. You know, I feel like branding is something I learned to do throughout my skate career. So that was one of the things I think it just taught me how to do, as far as like just my come up and using my story, using everything that I have to make me who I am and, you know, make me stand out from the rest.
Right, wonderfully said. And then I know one other thing that you're doing right now is mentoring youth. So tell me a little bit more about that, how you're mentoring them and where you're mentoring them.
Well, mentoring, like, I usually, like, I've been doing it, I kind of right now, like, I got two gentlemen of mine, so two youngsters who are, they're currently in college and they're doing well. And those are, like, my everyday mentors. You know, kids
right,
that I mentor,
mentees,
but yeah, mentees. I meant, and then I had a couple other kids. You know, just everywhere. Like, I mean, I still have kids that come up right now. Like, they done grown up, and they just be like, "Yo, you know, you're such an inspiration. You're the reason why I did this. You're the reason why I did that." And it's so crazy because you know, it's just like you never thought you would end up there. But I mean, I usually talk to kids at schools. I've done it all, from schools, churches.
Right. Everywhere.
Recreation center. Yeah, I've done it all. I've been like on the road. We did like a skate. I was doing skate clinics at one time, and I was doing that. Like, we would go, like, one of them, we had a huge one in Rhode Island, and we went all the way up there. Yeah, and then they had
this skateboarding
like,
big up there.
Yeah, skateboarding is pretty much big everywhere. Yeah, nowadays.
I'm going to have to get to one of your classes then.
yes. So I was doing that. And then, you know, I teach skating. So one of my dreams now, I feel like if the clothing, you know, brand would one day, you know, blow up or what have you, I'd you know, get a big warehouse or something, and we'd have like a skate park inside and, you know, teach lessons.
Cool.
Yeah, something crazy like that. I just want to have a safe place and a warm place, actually, because when the winter comes, it's so cold.
Brutal.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we don't want to skate out there. So, and then, yeah, that's pretty much like I'm just the coolest dude. Like, I feel like people hit me
tell.
All the time, yeah, on Facebook and everywhere, and they, you know, and I'm just the type of dude that, you know, I don't care where I've been, where, you know, I'm still the same person. So I'll have a conversation with you. I pretty much mentor people every day, you know, because so many people call me or hit me for advice through my social media, as I'd say.
That is so, so wonderful. And, you know, now I want to get into it. I want to get into the show. And I always start my show, Darren, with my doing it big in the DMV segment, because like you, I am from the area. And being that you're from the area, I know, I'm assuming that you have to be a Washington Redskins fan, right?
Let's say this. Yes, because
tell me the story.
Okay, I'm going to ride with the Redskins because, okay, I'm just not a big fan of football. Just put it like that. But,
oh, interesting. How did you get away from football in D.C.?
I know, and I played it and everything, but it's just not. I'm a diehard boxing fan, so boxing is my
thing. Nice.
Yeah, so I don't, and that probably you should know because I came up fighting, and that's just how it's just always been.
I mean, I can see why. I can see why. Well, I hope you'll ride with me a little bit through this Redskins talk that we're about to do.
No,
of course,
I got you.
You'll ride with the team. And recently, Darren, the Pro Bowl selections came out, and I'm going to get to that later in the show. But I do want to start off with the Redskins, who made the Pro Bowl team. We have Ryan Kerrigan, who, of course, is a linebacker for the team, Trent Williams, who's a tackle, and Brandon Sheriff, who is, of course, a guard. And then linebacker Zach Brown and cornerback Josh Norman have also been selected as alternates. So I think the Redskins, you know, they got some pretty big names in there to the Pro Bowl. I think it's exciting. It's the first time the Redskins have had at least three Pro Bowlers in back-to-back seasons since the 2012 to 2013 campaign. And then if that's not enough, Trent Williams, who's pretty much headlining this group, he has been named to the Pro Bowl for the sixth straight season. So basically, Trent Williams is doing his job. But tell me a little bit, what do you think about these names getting named to the Pro Bowl? Or do you think, you know, the Redskins, did they get snubbed? Should more names have been there?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't really get into it because, I mean, I just feel like every time it looks like they're about to do good, something, you know, it just can't.
It doesn't go.
Yes, and for so many years, it's like I'd be looking forward. I would love to sit home and be routing, rooting when they get on the road. You know, I mean, I'm there. I would never, you know, go for another team. I'm Redskins, but I just can't sit and watch it, like, because I know it's like for the past couple of years, I've caught it every time. Like, okay, they win one game.
You know what they're
going to do. Yeah, they win a game. They look good for a moment, and the next thing you know, it's the same thing. But, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, excited to, you know, to see that we do have some Pro Bowlers coming out of the, you know, I mean, you know, like, yeah. So,
You want the team to do better. And, you know, Darren, you bring
That's
up
all.
A great point because you're kind of feeling how a lot of people are feeling. So, basically, TV ratings have dropped for the Washington Redskins. They drew an 11.8 rating their last game, barely topping the Eagles-Rams game, also on at the same time in the same market. And then if that's not enough, last week they were second in the market behind the Baltimore Ravens. Then if we go to the recent game that happened against the Arizona Cardinals, people were pointing out how there were thousands of empty seats, and many are expecting there will be more empty seats for this coming Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. So basically, Darren, I don't think you're alone. There's a reason why those ratings are going down. There's a reason why there's empty seats. And, of course, the Redskins are 6-8 right now. And, of course, they're hoping to finish 8-8, which, of course, would be a 500 mark. But even then, it's like, I mean, they haven't appeared in the postseason in consecutive years since 1991 to 92 season.
Okay.
It's just, I guess it's a hard time is what I'm getting at to be a Redskins fan.
Yeah, because all I just know is every time it just seems like, I feel like the people, you know, I guess they're starting to notice it because, I mean, like, we get this person, we get that person, like, okay, they said, I guess we was doing okay when we had, what's my guy, quarterback, he got hurt and then what? He kind of, I think they traded RG3. Like it was RG3 mania.
Let's say. My gosh. Everybody
then,
wanted to be RG3. Jerseys everywhere in DC.
Yeah. And I you know, you got after all the hype. And it sucks, you know. I mean, he got hurt and stuff like that. But, you know, that was probably the last time I really I started to get into it again. You know, and I was watching, and then when that happened, I was like, well, it's over.
You were done.
You know, so, yeah, it was done. So,
you're not a Kirk Cousins fan, I take it.
I've watched about two games.
So tell me, hope that he returns? You know, are you hoping they give him the franchise tag again and that he returns? Okay.
Yes, I do. Because, I mean, I thought he was doing – I mean, like I ain't going to say he was – I thought he was doing better than RG3. Because, I mean, he came and he picked up, you know.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he hasn't been bad. I know. I mean, he's actually been pretty, really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And that's why the Redskins are going to have a big decision to make about bringing him back. But you brought up RG3, and, you know, he's also on the market because he's not with the team right now. So would you like to see RG3 possibly back in Washington?
Nah, I don't think
so. You're over the RG3 years.
It's almost like Derrick Rose situation. You know, I've been following that because I always follow injuries, and that's probably you know, with skating, you know, it's kind of like a parallel. You know, we go through knee injuries, most likely leg injuries. So when I see stuff like that, I like to just fill myself with information on it. And like even Derrick Rose, although this is all football and basketball, you know, he done like tore his legs and knees up. Well, this is about like his third time.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah. So they were just saying about now about him walking away from all his money and he chose to stay, which is cool. Like I would love to see the story, like he come back and at least do well, you know, but it's just like,
right.
It's your body. Like, you know, you don't, that body, once it shuts down or it's kind of hard to, you know, try to get back into motion, you know, and then it works on your ego. It works on your, it just works on you. So it's a mental thing, what I'm trying to say.
Right,
so it's like,
right.
When you're injured and it feels like you just can't do it like you want to, you would like to do it, it'll beat you down, you know, and that's when I feel like people, you have these fallen soldiers, you know. They have the will. Yeah, they want to. They want it bad, but it's like their body won't allow, and then it mentally just beats them down.
Right. I mean, and we're talking, say on the subject of injuries, that also relates to Trent Williams, the 6-time Pro Bowl tackle, because for more than 2 months now, Washington Redskins tackle Trent Williams has fought through excruciating pain in his right knee. Rarely has Williams practiced during that time outside of an occasional Friday practice to determine how his knee is feeling, but he has appeared on game days more often than not, so that talks about, you know, his resiliency that he has to still be in the game. But in the back of his head, mm-hmm. Williams has understood that surgery most likely will happen this offseason. Of course, there's only 2 weeks left in the season, and his soon-to-be surgery will actually be conducted by Dr. Robin West, who is the Redskins Director of Sports Medicine. But I do like this part of it, because you talked about RG3. You know, not everybody's able to come back from injury, but here we have mm-hmm. Trent Williams, who has been playing through injury, and guess what? His production hasn't dipped, so I feel like what you said is kind of a big mental thing, because I feel like,
yeah.
You know, for Trent Williams to still be playing this well, obviously something's going on in his mind that's getting him through the game, even that while his,
yeah.
You know, knee is bothering him and hurting him, you know, he's still
yeah.
been amazing for the Redskins organization. So I guess it just
mm-hmm.
depends.
Yeah, I mean, it does. To run it against my story, I hurt my ankle. I just had surgery actually about
okay.
2 years ago or a year and a half. Yeah, it's been like 2 years, I guess, now going up on 2 years. And I, before then, I hurt my ankle, twisted it, and I never knew I tore a ligament in my left ankle. So
wow.
The whole time, my whole career, I was skating on it. I was getting a steroid shot and everything. And I'm going to tell you, this is the secret to me. Like, for me, I couldn't give up because that was how I was making my living. That was the money.
Right.
It felt like if I stopped, I was going back to the streets or, you know, I would be a failure. So
right.
It was nothing but push forward for me. You know, I mean, I felt like I got out of the streets, skateboarding, you know, God gave me this opportunity. I got to go hard or go home. And that's why I skated on and I continued. And then when things kind of slowed down, I was like, you know what, I'm going to get it done because I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I come back on, you know, on just being able to play on the field perfectly. Like, you know,
of course,
we want
right.
to. Like,
you had that
football.
Motivation, though, you know, what
yes.
you were saying.
Yes.
So, I mean, I kept pushing
yeah.
you through. And I think that's
exactly.
a lot of athletes, as you said, right? They want to get that paycheck, right, because this is their way of life. Then for the fans, you know, they want to help, you know, get that win. Because I don't
yeah.
think anybody
you
wants to be
win.
Seen as, like, a softie,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, even
yeah.
though you have an injury, obviously, you should take care of it. But, you know, I just think it's a mental thing a lot of the times, too,
yeah.
as you're
yeah.
saying, you know, with your personal experience. And I thank you for sharing that,
yeah.
you know, with us. Wow. Just, yeah. But hopefully the Redskins, I think if they can get the fans these last 2 weeks, 2 wins, and get to the 500 level, I still think that will at least keep fans somewhat happy. And, of course, as we always say here in D.C., there's always next season.
Okay, so the final mark doesn't get them into, like, the playoffs or nothing, right?
Unfortunately. So, basically, everyone here in D.C. will have to watch the playoffs without their Redskins in it. So, I don't know if anybody has a second team, but I guess you got to root for
yeah.
your second team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, next door we have the Ravens who might make the playoffs. So, if people want
to
yeah. give them
I think, yeah, I mean, it's much love, but people are diehard Redskins fans, man.
Oh my gosh, yes. They're diehards here. I just saw a great
yeah.
piece, and there was a lady buried with a Washington Redskins tombstone. Like, talk about,
yeah.
you know,
wow.
being diehard fans. Wow. You know, that just tells
yeah.
you. So, people that don't know, DC is diehard Redskins fan. They love their team through and through. Come to a Redskins game. Just come to DC, I think,
oh,
and you'll
yeah.
see that. But staying on DC, Darren, are you a basketball fan? Because now I want to switch it over to the Washington Wizards.
I'm not a basketball fan either, but I watch it. I watch it every now and then. And I have
okay.
my people I root. Like, I'm the guy who picks certain, you know, people from, like, I'm a LeBron fan, but I don't, I'm not really into, you know, the Cleveland or the Heat. I didn't care about the whole team. It's just LeBron. You know, I love
LeBron. Right, you just follow LeBron. You
yeah,
follow the
like, just like, yeah, like 76ers. At the time, I was a diehard, or everybody was an Iverson fan.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh,
so.
Who wasn't an Iverson fan?
Yes,
and he went to my alma mater, Georgetown, so he was
an
Iverson fan.
But, you know, I'm familiar a little bit, though.
All right, well, I hope you'll bear with me. And I know you watch it, so you probably know that most recently the Washington Wizards played actually at home at the Capital One Center against the New Orleans Pelicans, finishing up a four-game homestand on Tuesday. They won 116-106, and it was really a Kentucky reunion. I mean, we had Anthony Davis in the building, of course, John Wall, Boogie Cousins. I mean, literally, I felt like I was watching a Kentucky game almost. But Bradley Beal led the team with 26 points, and John Wall added 18 points and 10 assists. But the unsung hero of the game, one who we were all watching and talking about on social media, was Mike Scott, who came off the bench and scored a season-high 24 points on 11 of 15 shooting. I mean, he was just hot. It seemed like he couldn't miss. Scott is now averaging 17.5 points per game in his last six games, and I love it. I think the problem has been with the Wizards, Darren, for a long time, the bench. But now, of course, that you have Kelly Oubre coming off the bench, even though he got to start the last game because another Georgetown alum, Otto Porter Jr., has been hurt. But Mike Scott, I mean, wow, he has been consistent off the bench. And Darren, it just seemed like he couldn't miss anything. So for a Wizards team, you know, that's solid and strong, having that stronger bench, who knows? The Wizards might just march their way into the postseason in the Eastern Conference. So at least if we don't have the Redskins maybe marching into the postseason, maybe the Wizards can do that for us here in D.C. What do you think about the Wizards so far this season?
I think I did catch a couple of games, like in the beginning. They were on the streak, though. They were, and I really thought, like, they were – going to do it this year, like, and then all of a sudden they took a dip, and then I did catch the news. It's crazy that you bring this up about the one something. I know it was 116 something 106, but they had an error. It was on the news this morning, and they put 10. I think it was 116-6 or something like that. Yeah, they made an error, and I was looking at it like, what? And they was laughing about the error and everything this morning. But
that's hilarious.
I mean, I wish they would. Yeah, I think it definitely would be great for the city. And
can John
it would
Wall
take
do
the,
it, Darren?
I mean, from what I hear, like, I don't watch him that much, but I hear he's, you know, pretty good. You know, I can't say, you know, I've really ever took a, like, just really watched him play. Like, I watched Durant. I watched, you know, just some of the other, you know, because some of these cats are from the city. So, you know, of course you want to watch.
Oh, yeah. We have
love
for
KD here.
I think
he can. Yeah. I think he can. I mean, because,
good.
You know, I hear his name a lot. So he should be a bad
so he
mother,
must be doing something, right?
Yes, he must be doing
your
something.
Your name is either being called a lot for something good or something bad. But
exactly,
I think for John
exactly.
Wall's case, it's for something good. I mean, he's been great.
Yeah.
He's coming back from injury. I think the Wizards, I mean, they are 17-14 right now. They are at the number 6 seed in the East. They're tied with the Indiana Pacers. Talk about local guys. Victor Oladipo is leading the Indiana Pacers, you know, to some good basketball. And the Indiana Pacers have the same record in the 7th seed. But really right now, Darren, they're chasing the Boston Celtics, who lead the East at 26-7. Wow, who would have thought that, you know, this year after they got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward going down in the first game. And then, of course, your man LeBron in Cleveland sit in the second seed at 23-9 in the East. So the Wizards have some work to do, but they seem like they're trying to find a groove, you know. And Bradley Beal's healthy. He's shooting out three-pointers like nothing. I mean, I think the Wizards, you know, hopefully they can march into the postseason, because I think I'm like you. I think, D.C., we need a championship in some sport.
Yeah,
okay?
We need something. Jesus Christ. It's been
some
a while.
Team.
Yeah.
I don't care what team.
Yeah. So, you know, so, I mean.
Maybe it'll be the Wizards.
Yeah. Hope
we
so.
Shall see. We mean, they have to go to Golden State, though. Who knows? But, you know, you brought up KD. I'm curious. Do you think KD will ever, ever, ever come back home and join the Washington Wizards? Or do you think he just doesn't want to come back home?
I don't know. I think he's just trying to win. That's what I think, you know.
Right.
He's
you can't blame him,
win.
Right? Who doesn't want a championship?
Nah,
right?
Yeah. Championship. You know, when your name is – but I also feel like, you know, when your name is, again, boom, and you're that guy, I feel like it doesn't – his status and his rate is always going to be high because they know he's the man. You know, he's helped. Now, he can't just do it alone, so it's not his fault. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like the only one that can do it alone to me is LeBron. LeBron.
Only the king.
Yeah, but no. Katie, everybody needs help. So, you know, it's a team effort. So I think, you know, you can't fault him, you know, because you need everybody.
Oh, my gosh. So well said. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah.
I think everybody here would love to see a KD reunion, right? And I think, I mean, it would truly be a homecoming.
Yeah.
I think we roll out the red carpet for him and we'd give him everything. But I don't see it coming either. I wish it would happen, but I don't think it's coming.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It would be nice. It would be nice.
We can only dream, Darren. We can only dream. now I want to move to my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. I want to talk about one of the big things in sports right now, and it's the Barstool founder threatening to sue the NFL for, as he calls it, jacking their slogan. So to give people some background, according to Barstool Sports, Saturdays are for the boys, okay? But meanwhile, the NFL says Sundays are for the boys. But now today on Thursday, we're discussing legal threats. That's right. Barstool is now declaring war on the NFL for allegedly jacking their trademark slogan. So if you don't know Barstool, they're a very popular sports blog on the internet. And basically, they have been selling gear that has said SAFTB, which is, as I just said, Saturdays are for the boys, for years, okay? And Barstool president, Dave Portnoy, told TMZ Sport that, you know, that's pretty much been their trademark slogan. But then they got pretty mad when they saw on the NFL League shop that they were selling the Sundays are for boys shirts. So basically, they're saying that they're going to pretty much sue the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who the Barstool president has called him his sworn enemy, if they don't pull the shirts from the shop. So tell me, I mean, what do you think about this whole situation? You know, I mean, is it just legal people just trying to get money, or I mean, do you think they're different? Like, what's your thought?
It's confusing because I mean, if you look at it, you know, I thought if you look at it, well, okay, so the blog is. Just
Barstool.
Football?
Well, they cover everything.
Okay. And I'm just thinking how when you associate football, you know, football is forever, you know,
right.
been aired on Monday night football and stuff like that. So, but then you
right.
have some cats like that who may not be bigger than the NFL, and they're doing their thing, so it can look like the big guy is picking on the little guy, or, you know what I'm saying? So it's a hard situation. But I do realize that, you know, football has always been associated with Monday night, you know, so it's a hard situation.
Right,
I'm sure
it's
if
hard.
You look back in history, yeah.
Nobody,
but,
you know, owns these days of the week, but you're right. Like, I mean, I think the NFL, when they say Sundays are for boys, yes, on Sundays, you pretty much think of church and football, you know,
yeah,
and I feel like that's the most, or brunch, right? I mean, especially here in D.C., everybody likes a good brunch. But it's like Sundays have been, you know, for a long time, but Saturdays, of course, you know, I think you've thought of course, college football, right, when it's that season. And, of course, we have the NBA. I mean, Saturdays honestly can be for anything. You know, what's not on a Saturday? I think it's going to be a hard time trying to sue the NFL, as you said, because history has it. You know, it's kind of been their day.
Yeah, it's always been their day. Like, you don't even have to. And when something is already trademarked, sometimes you don't – like, trademarks are weird. Like, I mean, how it can be trademarked. It can be trademarked by just doing it a lot, you know. And,
and
you know, so it's weird because – but I have to say, yeah, if you probably go back in history that, you know, Monday night has always been football. So Monday night and Sunday. Monday,
right.
Sunday. Yep.
That's when you think of football. I think
mm-hmm.
it's what I said.
Yep.
We'll let them figure it out. It's too confusing for us. We'll let them figure it out. And now I want to switch to my Football Minuteman segment, where recently during the NFL Pro Bowl selections were announced. Now, it was a lot of names, so me and you are just going to focus on the offense. And some of the firsts in history of the Pro Bowl. And then my next show, which will come out Wednesday after Christmas, I'll focus on the defense and I'll focus on linemen, both offensive and defense. And just note for people listening that some of these players will be replaced due to injury and or, of course, that they go on to the Super Bowl. But for now, this is the list. And for those that don't know, the Pro Bowl will be played January 28th, 2018 in Orlando. So I guess if you still want to go, you still have time to get your tickets and get down to sunny Orlando in January. But, Darren, I'm going to start off with the wide receivers who were named. And so I'm sure you'll know some of these big names. We had Julio Jones, of course, of the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, Adam Thielen of the Minnesota Vikings. We had Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans, A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals, Keelan Allen of the San Diego Chargers, and, of course, Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals. So any of those names stand out to you?
Larry Fitzgerald and Julio Jones.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They've been balling, right?
Yeah.
When can they not be selected in the Pro Bowl? Yeah. I mean, they've been doing some amazing things. You talked about Jones. So far, he's one of the top three receivers this season in the league. He has 1,215 yards. Amazing. And then right before him is DeAndre Hopkins, who has 1,313 yards. And then, of course, Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers has 1,533 yards, even though Antonio Brown, you know, with that injury last game, I mean, it's very scary to think, you know, what's going to happen with him. But, I mean, he's gotten through so much. I mean, all of them are balling out. I always love watching receivers. All those guys I named have been doing some amazing things with their teams. And, you know, congratulations to them. I think they'll have fun in Orlando.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the running backs and the fullbacks that have got selected. We have Todd Gurley of the L.A. Rams, Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints, Mark Ingram of the New Orleans Saints, LeSean McCoy of the Buffalo Bills, Kareem Hunt of the Kansas City Chiefs, Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers, James Devlin of the New England Patriots, and Kyle Juszczyk of the San Francisco 49ers. What names do you like on that list, Aaron?
I never heard of none of those. But
oh, my gosh, really?
No, never heard it. Never heard.
Well, I will help guide you through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now go ahead. Tell me your thoughts.
Go ahead. Maybe not who I'm thinking of, but go ahead.
All right. Well, Le'Veon Bell, of course, for the Steelers has been balling out. He leads running backs in the league with 1,222 yards. We have Hunt on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's right below him with 1,201 yards. And Todd Gurley, the second, with 1,187 yards. Gurley has been amazingly balling out. But I think the name that stands out to me the most on this list, Darren, is Alvin Kamara, because he is a rookie. But his name every week, he's literally helped that Saints team be so dominant. I mean, people are talking about the Saints getting back to the Super Bowl right now, and a lot has to do with that guy, Alvin Kamara. I mean, he is balling out. So basically, if you these next 2 weeks of football, Darren, if you watch the Saints game, I mean, definitely watch that young man. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, what can he not do? Kyle Juszczyk used to play over for the Baltimore Ravens, so it's pretty cool to see him having a good time in San Francisco and getting onto this list. But, yeah, the running backs and fullbacks are getting the job done, Darren.
Nice. Yeah, I got to. What, any – is Green Bay anywhere in
– Ooh, you made a good
Green
point.
Bay?
So far, they haven't been on any of my lists.
Wow.
On the offensive things. And I think when Aaron Rodgers went down, I think, you know, Green Bay's production all across the board, you know, kind of went down, unfortunately. Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers was such a pillar, right, of that team. You think of Green Bay, you know, you got to do the discount double check. You got to think of Aaron Rodgers, you know, being every part of that team.
I think that was my, when you said my secondary team, I just realized when I played video games, that was the game. I mean, that was the team I used to play
with. That
was the team. Yeah, Green Bay was my favorite. So I think I caught myself getting involved with that, like really watching them play as well on TV. But, yeah, that was it.
Very cool. Well, it's funny you mention that, but a team that I guess fans who can be excited for is the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they actually had the most players selected for the 2018 Pro Bowl. They had 8 players selected in total, 6 on offense and 2 on defense. And then there was actually 4 rookies, Darren, selected for this Pro Bowl. We have Buda Baker, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, and Marshawn Lattimore. So rookies, you know, have even been making a name for themselves. So what an exciting, you know, time for them. Now, I want to talk about a few snubs who people were kind of mad about. So some people made the point about Matthew Stafford, and they pretty much said he's upset about missing out on the Pro Bowl despite leading all NFC quarterbacks in passing yards. But he did insist Wednesday that he's not bothered by the lack of respect that he gets from voters when it comes to the NFL's annual All-Star game. In 9 seasons, Stafford in the Detroit Lions, he's the Detroit Lions career leader in passing yards, but he has never been voted into the game and has only played in it once as an alternate in 2015. So I don't know, but Matthew Stafford, he is not getting the love in Detroit with the Lions, even though he has 3,920 yards. He's a third quarterback in passing yards right now in the entire league, Darren. I don't know. What do you think? Is he getting snubbed?
I definitely think. I mean, if it's paid too. Yeah, if it speaks for itself, you know, the credentials, come on, you got to.
I guess he feels he's not getting the love, you know, in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then, you know, some other people here locally, people were mad about. was Justin Tucker and Sam Cook, who many believe are some of the best at their positions. You know, Justin Tucker, the kicker for the Baltimore Ravens, pretty much when he kicks, it seems like it's almost a sure thing that it's going through. And then Sam Cook has, I mean, for his entire career, one of the best punchers in the league. So I don't know. Baltimore didn't get any love either.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there were some big snubs. But congrats to Marshon Lattimore, who is the youngest Pro Bowl selection in New Orleans Saints history. At just 21 years old, he is making the Pro Bowl. So pretty exciting
crazy.
For him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, 21, right? And you're already in the Pro Bowl. Wow.
Wow.
Bright career, I think, coming for him. So now I want to switch over to, unfortunately, a not-so-bright topic. And I want to move on to John Skipper resigning from ESPN. So just to give the viewers some background, last week Disney announced a $52 billion deal to acquire most of the Fox empire. Now it says it will move forward without one of its key executives, ESPN president John Skipper, who has had the top job at Disney's powerful sports network since 2012. And they're saying he's stepping down, citing substance addiction. So Skipper said in a message to staffers, "The most important thing I can do right now is to take care of my problem." Skipper's resignation, which took place effective immediately, stunned the sports and media world as ESPN hosts and staffers wished him well. But everyone kind of wondered, you know, who would be next to take it over. And it comes at a weird time, Darren, because Skipper had re-signed a deal this year that was supposed to keep him at ESPN through 2021. Presumably felt that he could make a go for it, but over the next 3 months, he will be replaced by his predecessor. But, I mean, I know you probably watch ESPN, right? And, I mean, to hear that they're, you know, the most important man there, their president is stepping down due to substance addiction, you know, what do you kind of think about that? I mean, do you think it was the right decision that he's stepping down, basically saying he wants to go take care of his problem, or do you think there's kind of more behind that?
I think it's more behind it. I watch... And this has nothing. I just see a lot of – usually when people stepping down, it just seems like it's more behind it. Or they're trying to either save something for, you know, maybe diminishing or something just they're not trying to get out. Or, you know, they don't want something to sink, you know. And that brings me to, like, I guess I've been keeping up with the Russell Simmons thing. And, you know, I know you heard about that. And I've seen a couple of people step down from whatever they're – spots is, you know, when those accusations come. And it seems like they do that to protect their empire
their assets,
or whatever they get. Exactly. So
I think with the current state that we're living in,
it's understandable. Yeah. So, you know, but it just seems like it's more to it, because I feel like, you know, if you're not guilty or you don't, you know, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to leave my, you know, my stuff. You know, I'm going to be behind, you know, whatever I built. Okay.
I mean, I wish him the best, you know, with his substance abuse. I mean, I hope, of course, that he gets handled. But, you know, ESPN, it'll be interesting to see which way that they go, you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. When you have your president step down, of course, he's kind of over everything. But some news that is supposed to happen for ESPN is that they're scheduled to launch ESPN Plus, which is its repeatedly delayed digital subscription service. So that will be coming, hopefully, in March for you big ESPN people. It won't have any of the lesser ticket sports items that ESPN currently carries on its ESPN Watch digital platform, which it provides to paying TV customers. But instead, ESPN Plus will carry something else. So get this. Think pro tennis and small school college sports. So kind of those sports that we see not getting enough love, pro tennis and the smaller schools, college sports, they'll be on this digital service. And I think everything really is going digital now, you know, so it makes sense. So ESPN, they got some decisions to make, of course, with whoever takes over leadership, because, of course, they have laid out billions of dollars to get sports rights for leagues like the NBA, you know, and with people cutting their cable cords, cord cutting, you know, it'll be interesting as people try to figure out the best way to go digital. So, you know, we'll follow along that story. But now, Darren, I want to switch on to LeVar Ball. Do you know LeVar Ball, the CEO of the Big Baller Brand? You got to know him, right? I don't care what you have to know him. Well, Darren, big news was broken when he announced Wednesday that he is launching a basketball league for nationally ranked players who have graduated from high school but don't want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again for people. Yes, there is a league that he is launching for nationally ranked players who have graduated from high school but don't want to go to college. Because, of course, right now, to get to the NBA, Darren, you got to do what? You got to go to college now, right, to play in the NBA.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise the other option, I guess, is to go overseas. But most people, of course, do go to college to get to that next level. Ball said that it will be called the Junior Basketball Association, which he said is fully funded by his Big Baller brand. He plans to pay the lowest-ranked player a salary of $3,000 a month and the best players $10,000 a month. He's looking for 80 players to fill 10 teams that will seek to play at NBA arenas in Los Angeles, Dallas, Brooklyn, and Atlanta. I don't know why D.C. didn't get any love, but anyways, he said that the Big Baller brand is promoting the league. Players will wear the company's products, who would have thought that they wouldn't, including Big Baller brand shoes and a Big Baller brand uniform. So tell me, Jeremy, what are your kind of thoughts on this? I mean, do you think it's the right move, or is he doing too much?
No, I think this. For some reason, I think this guy is a genius. I'm just sorry. Like
don't be sorry. I agree.
Yeah, because I just see like he's keeping his name, his brand, everything is just in the media constantly, and he's doing big things, you know. And I feel like that may be a good thing, you know. I feel like a league for people that, you know, I mean, kids that don't necessarily, you know, have to go to college and they can play ball. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be something new, fresh. I'd love to see that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just think how many people can ball and who can ball on a professional level, like with the big guys, and they never go to college, or they never get the opportunity. You know, I think that would be dope. It opened doors for others, the underdog.
Yeah. I think that's well said. And basically, LeVar has said his thoughts on this were basically, he said, getting these players is going to be easy. He said, that's what he told ESPN. He said, this is giving guys a chance to get a jump start on their career, as you were kind of mentioning, Darren, to be seen by pro scouts. And he said, we're going to pay them because someone has to pay these kids. So it goes back to the golden question of, should college athletes be paid? Well, hey, if they're not getting paid in college, LeVar has an alternate option for them to get some money but also continue to play the sport they love. Now, I know some people might be asking, well, you know, how's the game going to be, Kelsey? Well, he said that the rules of his league will follow those of the NBA, actually, instead of college. There will be 12-minute quarters and a pro three-point line. So I guess he's basically saying that's why it'll get them ready for the NBA, because they'll be playing by NBA rules. And basically he said he was motivated by the comments made earlier this month by NCAA President Mark Emmert, who was asked at a sports business journal conference whether ball was good or bad for the college game. So I think I agree like you. I mean, I don't think it's bad, right? You're giving, you know, players a chance to play. And, I mean, you know, I love college and I thought college was great, but I understand college is not for everyone. And I think especially for athletes, you know, it can be a different question.
Exactly.
You know?
And then, I mean, you got – just think about other people that made the living. Like, I mean, most of the guys, okay, with the Harlem Globetrotters and all of they tour the world and doing what they do. So what's the difference? What's the difference of, you know, some kids, doing what they love and who may not, you know, get that platform. And I'd be like, you still have the selected ones who, if they feel they want to get to the NBA, the big league, they going, you know, go to the full extent route. But you have the others who may just settle for this, but who knows how big this might get. This might be just as big as the NBA.
And wouldn't that be something? And, you know, LeVar would be all over TV, like, I told y'all I told y'all. But for people wondering, they're probably like, you know, where do his sons play into this? So the logo for the league features a silhouette of none other than his son, Lonzo, who, of course, plays right now for the Los Angeles Lakers. If people get a chance, check out the logo. It pictures him in a picture basically looking like he's going to the hoop for a dunk. And then I know some people are probably asking, well, you know, why did he send his sons overseas then to go play if he was doing this? He's admitted that there's a lot of work to get the league ready because currently no venues have been rented and ticket prices haven't been set. And then, of course, he doesn't have any players yet. But the league won't include his middle and youngest son, LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball, who, of course, already signed to go play basketball in Lithuania. But I think it is interesting because there is an opt-out option in his youngest son's contract that after a month they can actually get out. So, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden they leave Lithuania and go to play in LaVar's in his league. So I think, you know, I think both of us are kind of excited for it. I think it can grow. I think LaVar is a marketing genius, and, you know, I only wish him the best. I think you're giving kids a chance and you're paying them.
Yeah.
I can't complain to that.
That's
I can't complain
count.
At all.
Yep.
Now we got to move on to kind of a, I'm going to call it a somber story because it was just crazy. So it came out recently in the news that Oklahoma running back Rodney Anderson had been accused of rape, but there have been new updates in this case where the University of Oklahoma student-athlete starting running back Rodney Anderson will not face charges after a woman said that she was raped by him. So we give people some background to understand why this development came out. So on Monday, this past Monday, December 18th, the Cleveland County District Attorney, Greg Mashburn, announced that the VPO against Anderson is officially dropped after announcing last week that Anderson will not face any charges after authorities were unable to find evidence that Anderson raped accuser Courtney Thornton, who had been involved with Anderson after her friends came forward in defense of the football star, stating that Thornton was pursuing Anderson in hopes to have a relationship. Prosecutors explained Thornton never told Anderson no after they had engaged in consensual sexual activity, and she had called a friend while in the bathroom to tell the friend that she was excited Anderson was at her place. Despite knowing that the act was consensual, Thornton went to the police station and filed a protective order on December 4th, alleging that the football star sexually assaulted her. Investigators say her story changed a couple of days later when she recalled having consensual sex with Anderson before exchanging phone numbers. Thornton also gave police friendly text messages that exchanged with Anderson in the days following, and friends also told police that Thornton was thinking about future aspirations in the context of what happened with Anderson, stating that this will be a great thing for her political career following the Air Force, adding that female-empowered political organizations would love something like this. Wow. So that's kind of the background of the story. But now, of course, he won't be charged because they basically thought her story was fabricated because it had changed so much, and she had literally had friends basically going to tell the police that she had planned this all along. So I know everyone's probably asking, will she get accused? But as of right now, they're saying that she won't get accused and that they're not pursuing charges against her because they cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt, which, of course, is the standard that you have to prove that she lied. So I'm just kind of curious, after hearing your thoughts, Darren, just give me your general thoughts. Do you think there needs to be something done so, people may be fabricating stories against athletes or really anyone, so that can be kind of placed to hold on? Because, of course, once those allegations come out, especially as we see now, even if they're proved not true, it can be hard to get your reputation back, especially a guy like this who wants to go to the next level,
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard, one of those another hard situations because, again, it's like you don't, what can you do? Okay, for instance, I'll look at it. I'll just let it be. But I do know that it can tarnish someone's reputation, so it's
right.
It's hard. I feel like the guys just always have it hard anyway, If it was a female, not to, but I feel like it's a little bit easier to get over, but the men always have it bad, because it's sometimes, most of the time, it's almost like, they may accuse you of doing it, and it's just like, mm-hmm. They just believe it already, he did it, and it doesn't be the case. Like, even when the Nelly situation just came out, hearing that
that example was
false. Yeah, and
right.
I'm like, wow. And when you hear something like that, I feel like the media immediately believes it, and it just kills your reputation already. So I did see something about him was talking about countersuing or suing a young lady, but
right.
I just feel like that ain't what men do. I feel like
it's hard. If somebody does rape somebody, of course, report it, and you don't want that to happen ever. But
yeah.
I don't see how
yeah.
anybody could lie. Like, that's somebody's life.
Yeah.
That's somebody. And when something like that comes out, like you said, even it's just hard to – you can't really erase it, right? Especially
yeah.
with social media now. Once everything's
nah.
there, everything's not going to be deleted and stuff. And here this guy is,
nope.
Scared to death. Could have went to jail, right? If you get accused
yeah.
of rape, you got to go in the – you got to go in the system and register, sex offender. It's just so much stuff that could have happened,
yeah,
right?
But
I'm glad. I will say I'm glad her friend stepped up. If you know somebody's
yeah.
doing something wrong, even if they're your friend, it takes courage to do that. But, they kind of really saved that young man's life. So
yeah.
it'll be interesting to see, And hopefully he learns. Really, all I can say is they have to be careful, with who
yeah,
you're
you
around.
Yeah, you definitely got to be careful when you get that reputation and when you – grow as a person or you get successful, you have to watch out for those certain little things,
Right, there's
and
always
know,
people that are going to want to take
yeah.
you down, unfortunately,
yeah.
but it's a sad truth.
you want to live kind of normal, but you still got to watch it.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But I guess the only positive coming out of it, hopefully he'll be able to play in the Rose Bowl that's coming up on New Year's Day, of course, at 5 p.m., where Oklahoma, who is 12-1 and 8-1 in the conference, will take on Georgia, who's also 12-1 and 7-1 in the conference. So, you know, hopefully he can end this year on a strong note, and, you know, hopefully this is a lesson to everyone. But now I want to move on to the segment I always like to end with, Darren, and that is my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where I'm excited today to honor the lovely Serena Williams, who, of course, I know you got to know Serena Williams with all that she's done. But 15 years after Serena Williams landed her first Nike sponsorship, the tennis champion is getting her very own building. Yes, her very own building at the Sportswear Brands World Headquarters. Amazing. I mean, she recently
announced. Wait, so that's at Nike?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Serena's getting in. Get this. Fun. Nike Serena Williams building is set to measure over 1 million square feet upon completion in 2019, making it the largest building on its campus.
Wow.
I mean,
that
what can Serena
crazy.
Not do?
Wow.
So Nike told Money Magazine that Serena Williams is one of the greatest athletes of all time, one of the most inspiring people in the sport, and a dominating presence on and off the court. She has won Wimbledon 7 times, the U.S. Open 6 times, and more Grand Slam tennis titles, 23, than any other man or woman in history. And get this, if you didn't know, she's also the world's highest paid female athlete, and she even teased a new shoe collection collaboration with the powerhouse of Nike. She sported some new sneakers that had some glitz and glam. They had some glimmering gold heel and sole, and she paired it with some matching gold and white socks. So if she's not making sneakers, she's getting a million square foot buildings built on Nike's campus. So tell me, what do you think about Serena Williams and just all her greatness out there?
Inspiration, you know, like I just love seeing, you know, just people prosper and, you know, just take it to that level, you know. It's just amazing, you know. I'm just one of those types, like I'm on the internet like 80-90% of the day, and I just you know, I be looking for inspiration and stuff like that, you know, stories like that and people who are just so awesome at what they do. It's just like you can't excel, you know. You have to just be just all about your craft and go hard at it, and it can happen.
I agree. I'm like you. I love it. That's why I always end on a positive note. And then I end it with my woman crush every day because I try to give women more love. I think they deserve more love. So Serena is one of those women that, you know, continue to inspire us all, both male and female. If that's not enough, she also has multiple endorsement deals with a number of major brands, including Gatorade, Delta Airlines, Aston Martin, Pepsi, Beats by Dre, the list goes on. Serena's doing it all. So congrats to Serena. Of course, she's a new mommy too, 36-year-old new mom. And I just wish her the best. But Darren, I want to thank you so much for joining me on today's show. And for everyone listening, thank you. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at blacksports1340am.com and kelseynicolenelson.com. But a special announcement for next week with the Christmas holidays, shows will be released on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at The Real K Nelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.